CBS News. Reports from Dhaka say that Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, president of Bangladesh, has been killed in a coup led by the nation's one-time commerce minister. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Bangladesh Radio is reporting the death of the 55-year-old Sheikh Mujib, but did not say how he was killed. In a broadcast monitored in New Delhi by the Press Trust of India, the state radio from Dhaka says the new president of Bangladesh is Konkar Mustaq Ahmed, who had served as the country's Minister of Commerce. It appears the military staged the coup. The broadcast also said a 24-hour curfew and martial law had been imposed. Sheikh Mujib led his countrymen to independence from Pakistan in 1971. Bangladesh, a nation of 75 million people, is desperately poor. It has been plagued in recent years by drought, floods, and poor administration. Sheikh Mujib's government had said that 30,000 people died of starvation in the last 3 months of 1974 alone. More news in a moment.
I'm standing at a drug counter looking at hemorrhoid medication labels. This one contains only petroleum jelly, a lubricant that soothes. This one, Preparation H, has more and does more. Preparation H not only brings prompt temporary relief in many cases from occasional pain and itch, but very importantly, Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. Yes, Preparation H goes beyond soothing, has more, and does more. Ointment or suppositories, use only as directed.
Riddle me this one. You give a gift to all about you and you become the most richly gifted. It's expensive, but you can do without it. It's offensive, but you cling to it. And once gifted, you need never do it again. And once we tell you, you'll say you would have thought of it in a moment. Ah, don't light that cigarette. That's what we're talking about. Your lung association suggests you gift yourself and your lungs by quitting, and you take the smoke out of your lungs and out of everybody's life around you. Offer yourself a gift of life and breath.
There are reports from Tel Aviv saying Israel and Egypt have now settled all important differences leading toward an interim agreement on troop pullbacks in the Sinai. There is speculation Secretary of State Kissinger next week will begin another round of shuttle diplomacy in the region to nail down the agreement. In Birmingham, Alabama, for a speech on Thursday, Kissinger was asked about reports the U.S. will send technicians to man surveillance equipment in the Sinai.
Obviously, there is no agreement as of now. There's not even an agreement as to the particular concept of an American presence. And therefore, we have not had an opportunity except to sound out certain congressional leaders in a general way about the concept, but we have not been able to put before them any concrete propositions.
Kissinger also said under no circumstances would there be any U.S. military men sent to the area. He said no civilian technicians would be sent without the approval of Congress. That brush and timber fire in Pacoima Canyon near Los Angeles is now in its sixth day. Firefighters say they cannot even guess when they'll have it under control. The fire has already blackened over 6,000 acres and caused an estimated $2 million damage. It's been a hard week for the men on the fire line, as explained by Bob Hansen, a spokesman for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department.
6 days of firefighting is extremely hard work. The temperature's been in excess of 90 degrees. It's hot and dry out in that area. The terrain is very, very rough. It's steep. A lot of canyons, and these men are working directly on the fire line trying to contain it.
Hansen added that about 20 firemen have received minor injuries fighting the California blazes. There are reports that President Ford on Friday will announce some new energy policies. It's being said the president will announce he has decided to veto the 6 month extension on domestic oil price controls, the extension passed by Congress. In return for sustaining his veto, the president would pledge to Congress that he'll remove the $2 a barrel tariff on foreign oil. Administration energy experts say if implemented, the president's plans would mean a gradual upward climb in energy prices, but not a sharp immediate boost. In Raleigh, North Carolina, it appears the Joanne Little trial will go to the jury on Friday. Judge Hamilton Hopgood is to instruct the panel, and it may start the process of deciding on the charges against the 21-year-old black woman. Miss Little faces a second-degree murder charge. At issue is whether she killed her white jailer in a plan to escape or to defend herself against a sexual attack. Now this.
Lefty Drew, pro bowler. How do you spell relief?
When I have heartburn, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Mrs. Peterson, homemaker.
For acid indigestion, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaid spells relief. Each Rolaid consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Bubba Johnson, mechanic, how do you spell relief?
For gas, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaid spells relief. Use only as directed.
Hearts wants to round up every brown woman in town and run them out before they run your dog down.
Roundworms can strike your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts Once a Month Wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, and then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts Once a Month Wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm free evermore.
The Hearts Once a Month Wormer for dogs and cats.
Reports out of Moscow say that political prisoners in a labor camp southeast of the Soviet capital have started a hunger strike to demand better conditions. Dissident sources told Western newsmen the hunger strike began 3 days ago. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Mayor Neil Goldschmidt won't get an 11% salary raise like the rest of the city council. He'll have to make do with an 8.6% wage boost that will bring his salary to $38,293. It had been announced earlier that he would receive an 11% boost like everyone else on the Portland Council, but the City Bureau of Personnel said today that Goldschmidt's salary increase was trimmed, so his pay would be kept at the same dollar amount above the council members as it is now. The Warrenton Planning Commission has given its approval to a plan that calls for the development of part of Tansy Point as an industrial site to be operated by the Port of Astoria. The land, when deeded to the city of Warrenton, was to have been used strictly for park and residential development, but the deed will be changed to allow the industrial development. The State Health Division is aiding in the investigation into a new outbreak of gastrointestinal illness at Crater Lake National Park. Park officials report that about a dozen park employees and residents at the Youth Conservation Corps camp near park headquarters have come down with an illness similar to that which forced closure of the park in June and July. That illness was caused by the presence of raw sewage in the park's water supply. Health investigators will be trying to find out whether the latest outbreak of illness was a recurrence of the old problem or a brand new one. A 275-acre fire in the Okanagan National Forest on north-central Washington has been brought under control. The Forest Service says demobilization of firefighting crews is underway and should be completed by the weekend. The man-caused fire had erupted in rugged terrain, forcing ground crews to build a fire line by hand. The crews were aided, however, by helicopters and air tankers. The weather forecast for Portland-Vancouver Fair this evening. As we have seen, late night and morning low clouds and brief drizzle through Friday and Saturday. Afternoon clearing expected both days, lows in the upper 50s, highs in the upper 70s. Chance of measurable rain less than 10% through Friday night. The present temperature in downtown Portland stands at 59 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, with another tale of the macabre. Macabre suggests a dance of death. Death is a skeleton who leads others to the grave. In this story, a respected middle-aged man, Philip Chambers, becomes an agent for death because death placed in his hands a temptation he could not resist. Avarice. One of the seven mortal sins. In the short space of 3 days, avarice, an almost physical greed for wealth, brought terror and disaster to this man and to his family.
Who are you?
Where is it, Mr. Chambers?
What are you doing in my basement? How did you get in here?
Let's have it, Mr. Chambers. You don't want to get hurt, do you? This is a real gun. I've used it before. I know how to use it.
Let him have it, Nick. Let's get out of here.
Not until Mr. Chambers turns it over to us. How about it, Mr. Chambers?
What is it you want?
The money. $80,000. It's ours. And you've got it someplace down here.
Now turn it over. Or I'll blow your head off.
of All Evil was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Roy Windsor and stars Norman Rose and Anne Shepard. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by the Florida Orange Growers. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
From Mom, I got my practical side.
Christmas, oh, just get me a nice mop, son.
From Dad, I got my fun-loving side.
Go fly a kite, kid.
So, being practical and fun-loving, naturally, I got a Buick Skylark. Being the only V6-powered American compact, it's very practical. And being a Buick, it's a lot of fun to drive. As Mom says...
A wise decision, son.
Or, as my father would say...
Nice car, kid. Let's go shoot some pool.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God." Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
Philip Chambers and wife Laura live in a small colonial house in Morris Manor, a village 30 minutes from New York. Its streets are tree-lined and quiet. Families take pride in their homes and land. It's a wealthy village, and most families have gardeners. Not Philip Chambers. He's an organic gardener who enjoys grinding up all kinds of refuse for his compost heap and then returning it to the soil of his acre of land. That's where the trouble began. One Sunday morning at breakfast in their kitchen...
Now, Phil, please don't run that shredder of yours before 9 o'clock. Some people like to sleep on Sunday morning.
I know.
I'll slick up the kitchen, and you'll be back in time to clean up for church. You want the eggshell?
Certainly. What have you done with the scraps?
Oh, they're in the plastic bag. All the week stuff. I put the bag in the garbage bin last night. It was beginning to perfume the back porch. Get rid of it.
My dear Laura, it will be ground to shreds within half an hour.
And don't get your fingers caught in that fool machine.
Ah, beautiful morning. Now, let me see. Oh, there's a pretty large bag full of garbage. Better get the wheel back. What the devil? Money. Packs of money. What? There must be thousands of dollars at the bottom of the bin. What? It's a fortune. It's a fortune. Where did it come from? What do I do with it? Somebody hid the money there. But why? And whose is it?
Phil?
Yes?
Joan Shelton just telephoned. It's in the news. I'm going to go across to read the article.
Well, what's in the news?
The robbery. You were asleep when all the excitement happened. I'll bring back the newspaper clipping, and I'll tell you all about it. I'll be right back.
The robbery?
I'll be right back.
Robbery? What robbery? I must get to the basement. Good Lord. I've never held so much real money in my hands in all my life. Packs of $100 bills. 50 in a pack. Let's see, 10 of those. Oh, I can't believe it. $50,000. And $1,000 bills. 30 of them. $80,000. Oh, I'm rich. I'm rich. No more scrimping. No more fawning over persons for whom I have contempt. Begging work as a freelance copywriter. People who don't know as much as I've forgotten. This money means I am free. Oh, it's got to be hidden. Whoever left that fortune in the garbage bin will try to get it back. Laura said there was a robbery. Maybe the thief hid the money. Let's see. Where do I put it? Small box. First, I'll place the money in this plastic bag. And then into that box the iris bulbs came in. Let's see. And then where? Let me see. Ah, yeah. Behind the basement window, under the porch. The siding runs to the ground. $80,000. And it's mine. And I won't give it up.
Bill?
Yes, Laura.
Can you come up here for a minute?
Oh, why, certainly.
Come on out on the porch. I have that article.
Laura, there was a robbery.
Read.
2 a.m., Grove City Police. Raced after three men in a... crashed when they made a sharp turn at McKinley Street and Highland Avenue in Morris Manor. Why, that... Laura, that's our corner.
And you slept right through the whole thing.
Yeah, I must have.
The sound could have wakened the dead. The police car was blasting its siren. Then there was a terrible crash when the robber's car hit old Mrs. Morris's elm tree and turned upside down. And one of the men was dead.
And the other two, you said there were three.
Must have got away. All of us had run outside, Dr. Shelton and Joan and I and the Moores and the McLeods. But the police told us to get back to our houses. They had their guns out, and they were searching for the missing men.
How much did they get away with?
Thousands of dollars. As much as 75 or 80,000. They tied up the night watchman and broke into the Grove City Federal Bank. Some alarm went off, so the police reached the bank just as the robbers jumped into their car, and they came tearing along this way. The police were right after them.
You know, that was a nice elm tree of Mrs. Moore's.
Is that all you've got to say? That was a nice elm tree of Mrs. Moore's? This is the most exciting thing we've had around here since the Hurricane Esther, and you're worried about Mrs. Moore's elm tree. You've got no adventure in your soul, Phil. That's all right. You did have. Now the two of us are staid old middle-agers getting by and letting the world go by.
I suppose so, Laura.
Oh, you're not offended, Phil.
No, of course not. My future's behind me, I'm afraid.
No, it's not. You've done so much. You've written so many great advertising campaigns. Your skill hasn't worn away. You'll see. I'm certain it'll go well tomorrow.
I hope so. But, Laura, face it, I'm 55. My lunch date and interview tomorrow is with a 26-year-old girl, almost fresh out of college. Laura, I'm old enough to be her father. Why would she want to employ me? I'd be an embarrassment to her because I know too much.
I don't see why. Well, you have to finish with your shredding, and I've got a dress for church.
Well, I decided not to use the shredder this morning.
Oh, not enough garbage and refuse?
Oh, no. All the excitement about last night has unnerved me. I'll get to the shredder next week.
I'll be out of the shower in a few minutes.
Well, don't hurry. I have some things to do in the basement.
Oh, look, I've asked Dr. Shelton and Joan to come by at 6 for cocktails on the porch. All right?
Huh? Oh, sure, it's fine. Look a gift horse in the face. There's an old chestnut. When someone makes you a present, don't look too minutely into its intrinsic value. $80,000. Oh, that's some gift horse. Or is it? No. It's stolen money, which I propose to steal. I hope it's safe behind that basement window. I better lock the garage, put that bag of garbage back in the bin, and then church.
Paul, glass is empty, Doctor.
Oh, 2 is my limit on a Sunday night, Laura.
Joan?
Oh, all right. I'm not operating at 7 in the morning.
Phil?
Oh, yes, dear.
Joan would like a refill. Your mind's a million miles away.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Now, that was with water, right?
Please.
Paul, what do you think, really? I mean, about that robbery and the disappearance of the two men.
Well, after looking at the car, Laura, I wonder how they came out of the accident alive.
But they did. It's remarkable. And they disappeared with all that money. Almost $100,000.
Oh, not quite that much, but a small fortune. How could they have escaped the police? Maybe they're still hiding right in this neighborhood.
Here's your drink, Joe.
Thank you. They could be in hiding. Don't you think so, Paul?
I can't imagine where.
Someone's basement or attic. The Waynes are away for the month. Yes, they're at Candlestick Lake for a month.
Well, surely they notified the police that they'd be away. Are there other vacant houses in the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah. The Murrays went away for the weekend to visit their son at Cannes.
So it's possible that the thieves could be hiding right around here.
Well, my guess is that they stole somebody's car and got themselves lost in the city.
With $80,000 of hard-earned money.
Well, insurance will cover the bank's loss.
Oh, Joan, my dear.
I'm afraid it's time for the doctor to get to bed.
What time? Oh, my dear, it's late. It's 10 o'clock. We came over here for cocktails. We stayed for salad and rolls.
I'm delighted you did. Phil's been fidgety all day long. Your visit took his mind off his problems, didn't it, Phil?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Very happy that you came over.
Don't work so hard, Phil. You have seemed preoccupied. Relax. Or has the chatter about the mysterious robbers upset you?
Oh, heavens, no. No.
This is the house?
Yeah. Whole light. When I get the cover off, stick the light inside the can, way in. And then turn it on.
Okay. Creepy out here.
Flash the light in the bottom of the can.
See anything?
No.
Scrounge around.
It's not there.
It's gotta be there.
Somebody beat us to it.
What dirty
stuff. Shut up. Mike dead and 80 grand gone. Someone's got it.
Maybe the garbage...
Don't be stupid. There's no garbage pickup on Sunday.
Well, maybe the people in the house seen it and called the fuzz.
Maybe. Or maybe they kept it. You get kind of a surprise. You open a garbage can and find 80 grand.
Right on.
I wonder who lives here. We gotta find out. If he's got the money, we'll sweat it out of him.
But if he gave it to the cops...
That we find out first.
You crazy? We walk in and ask if they found the money, we'd be in the can in 5 seconds.
You ever heard of the telephone? That's how we find out. And when we know, we come back. Now put the light away. I'll put the cover back on the can.
Right. Then let's get out of here. Them bugs that go croak give me the shakes.
Phil... Phil, is that you?
What is it, Laura?
Are you still awake? What's the matter? Can't you sleep? Is it cold on the porch? I'll get you another blanket.
No. I'm all right. Go back to bed, Laura.
Your voice is shaking. Let me turn on the light.
No, please.
Come into the bedroom. Phil, I'll turn on the light. Soaked with perspiration. What is it? Let me get your robe. Where do you feel ill? What is it, stomach? But your head? Sit down in the rocker. You look ghastly.
Laura, maybe if I had a brandy.
Yeah, I'll telephone Paul Schill.
No, please. He's operating at 7. I've just got a chill or something.
You wipe your face with a wet cloth and I'll be right up.
I heard them. Every word. They're coming back. Killers. Oh, what shall I do? Is it too late to call the police and turn in the money? Maybe not. But give up $80,000 because I'm afraid of a pair of hoodlums? What have I got to be afraid of? Say they confront me. I tell them that I haven't got the money. Would they risk shooting me? No,
I won't give up that money. I won't.
Here's the brandy, sweetheart.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. That helps.
Phil, when I walked through the living room to the bar on the porch...
Yes?
Two men were staring from behind the front hedge through the living room window. Phil, I'm afraid...
After all other sins are old, avarice remains young. A very old French proverb. Chance has allowed avarice to place temptation before Philip Chambers. He is already a harried man. Will his sense of moral values be strong enough to overcome temptation? Or will he persist in holding on to the stolen money? We'll find out when I return with Act Two.
Come on, America, refresh the natural way. Have a glass of summer juice any time of day.
Hi, Anita Bryant here for Summer Juice. 100% pure orange juice from Florida. 100% pure, yet costing the same or less than many carbonated and synthetic beverages. Now that's pure value.
Orange juice, America's summer.
From the Florida Orange Growers.
This is Lloyd Nolan. My son Jay was physically perfect. I guess he was about 2 years old before we realized that anything was wrong. At first, we thought he was deaf. That's what the parents of most autistic children think. At that time, I don't think we knew any parents of an autistic child. It would have been a great blessing to us to have had a National Society for Autistic Children. Support the National Society, Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
All right, hard bark, check. Rub the sores, check. Hey, you camels here, 2x2.
Noah, the flood is getting worse. I'm bushed, and even the animals are revolting.
You're telling me? You don't have to clean their cages. Yeah.
No, I mean they're threatening to mutiny or to jump ship. They're sick of this ark, and frankly, so am I.
They can't jump ship. They can't swim. You can't swim. Wait a minute. I can't swim. Oh, if only we'd had some courses in swimming and water safety, like basic rescue and advanced life saving, then we'd know what to do.
Don't get caught short on your ark. Find out about Red Cross water safety courses and textbooks. Call your local Red Cross chapter today.
Saber-tooth tigers, tidal dogs, unicorns. Oh, no. Unicorn overboard! Help!
Chambers and his wife, Laura, somehow got through the remainder of the night. After Laura's fright about seeing two men stare through her living room windows, Philip, in a brave display, turned on the front lights and walked outside defiantly, a fireplace poker in his hand. That assured Laura. She insisted on telephoning the police and reporting what she had seen. Captain Ron said he'd have a squad car prowl the property. Then the Chambers went to bed and to a fitful sleep. The next morning, over coffee...
You all right, Phil? You look pretty ragged.
Yeah, I'm all right. I better be. I'm seeing that girl at noon and going to lunch.
Mm-hmm. You're taking the train?
The 10:05.
Darling, you're a bundle of nerves. Phil, why?
You keep telling me that, Laura, and that hardly helps. Look, I wish you'd just forget about me. I've got a lot on my mind now, if you'll excuse me.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry, but you worry me. Is something bothering you that I don't know about?
Survival.
Survival? We're not that bad off. We're doing all right.
Look, I'll be in the basement.
Well, I'll drive you to the train.
Don't bother. I'll call a cab.
But that's foolish. One minute you're talking about survival, the next minute you're throwing away money out on a cab.
Laura, just stop talking, will you, please?
So strange. Let's come over you. I'll speak to Dr. Shelton. Maybe he can find out. 5, 4, 5, 7.
Shelton's residence.
Hi, Joni.
Laura.
Yeah. Look, when does Paul get home from the hospital?
Well, this is Monday, and he operated early. I say, he'll be home by 4. Why? Something wrong?
I think so. But I don't know. It's Phil. Joni, tell you what. He's taking the 10:05 to the city. Can you come over at 10:30? I'll be back then, and I've got to talk this out.
Of course. You sound serious.
I am. Will you come over?
Of course. I'll see you at 10:30.
There. That ought to be safe. Who'd think of looking behind a basement window and under the porch? Oh, I got the shakes. Why don't I take the money with me into the city? I could leave it in a locker at Grand Central. If the police find the money in my possession... No, I've got to bluff my way out of this. $80,000 dropped into my hands. I can't give it up. Now, look, I mustn't be afraid. Oh, my stomach keeps turning. I still have that lunch meeting.
You look as if you hadn't slept a wink last night, Laura.
I didn't. At about 3:00, Phil was awake. He came up late and slept on the upstairs porch. I heard him stirring. So I checked on him. He was covered with perspiration, shaking like a leaf.
And how was he this morning?
Well, he looked exhausted, but he didn't have the shakes. He was all right when I dropped him at the train.
Well, he has that important lunch today, doesn't he? Could that be it?
It could be, but I don't think so. Phil's had summit meetings before. No, it's something else. I can't find out what it is. Maybe Paul can.
Maybe. Paul's not a psychiatrist.
Yes, I know, but he's a doctor, and Phil might confide in him. Besides, Paul's his best friend.
But Phil wouldn't say what was bothering him.
No. When I persisted in my questions, he said survival. Well,
that's odd. What did he mean? Continuing to live? To stay alive?
I think it has something to do with the robbery of the Grove City Bank.
Oh, Lord, for heaven's sake. Yes. Why? What's that got to do with Phil?
Well, ever since I mentioned the robbery to him, Phil seemed distracted. When he read the article in the news, he grew tense. He began to perspire. I didn't think anything of it at the time. But since what's happened... I've been trying to reconstruct Phil's behavior. I think it springs somehow from the robbery. I've never been so frightened in my life.
Laura!
I went down for brandy when he felt so badly. I didn't switch on the lights. I walked down the stairs from the bedroom and across the living room toward the porch. And that's when I almost screamed.
Good heavens, what happened?
Two men. Standing behind the hedge, in front of the living room windows, and looking in.
What? Looking through your windows? You think that the stolen money was, or is, somewhere around your property?
I don't know what to think.
Have you told the police?
I telephoned them last night, and they sent a prowl car to snoop around.
Well, did you mention your theory to the police? I mean, about the money being hidden somewhere around your house?
No. First, it sounds far-fetched. Second, I've got a feeling that somehow it concerns Phil.
How could it concern Phil? You mean, he may know where the money is hidden?
I don't know what I mean, Joan.
Talk about imagination. Laura, you're as bad as Phil with his talk about survival. He has a bad case of nerves and... Survival? He said he was worried about survival. Now, isn't that the word you said?
Yes, that's the word he used. I thought he meant our survival. But what if he meant he was afraid, literally, of his own survival? That would mean he knows something about the robbery that he's not telling.
But you don't believe that he found the money, do you?
I don't know.
But if he did, knowing Phil, the kind of man he is... He'd just have called the police.
No question about it. And he would have told me. Oh, excuse me. Back doorbell. I'll be right back, Joan.
Take your time. I'll be out on the porch.
Morning. I'd like to read the water meter.
Oh. Down the steps to the basement. And watch your head. The ceiling's low.
garden looks wonderful, Laura.
Yes, it does. Phil takes such great pride in it.
Laura, if Phil meant he's afraid about his own survival, then I think he knows something. Either he saw the men who stole the money and can identify them, or he knows where the money is hidden.
That I can't believe. If Phil knew that, I'd know it. And you just said Phil, being the kind of man he's always been, would return it.
Yes. Well, maybe Paul can drag it out of him. Whatever it might be.
I'm worried sick. I have a premonition of danger or tragedy. Something in the air. A sense of impending evil. Hello?
Laura, something's occurred to me.
What, Joan?
I was on your porch at 10:30 and the doorbell rang. Who was it?
Well, the man who reads the water meter. Why?
Well, he didn't come to my house. And when a man comes from the water department, he reads the meters at all the houses in the neighborhood.
Yes, he does.
And another thing. I went shopping at noon, and as I drove out of my driveway, a man walked out from the back of your house. Did someone else call on you?
No. You mean that the man who read the meter was in my basement from 10:30 until noon?
Some man was, but he wasn't a man from the water department.
Well, then we're right. The stolen money's around here someplace, and the man was one of the thieves.
That's what I think. Has Phil returned from New York?
No, and it's after 5.
Well, you shouldn't be in that house alone until we get to the bottom of this strange situation. Paul got stuck with another emergency operation. He won't be home until quite late.
Oh.
But I'll send him by after I tell him everything we think.
Oh, but the poor man will be exhausted.
No.
Why
do... Not exhausted. He'll be by to see Phil, and then you come across to see me, all right?
Yeah. Thank you, Joan. Oh, there's the front door. Phil?
Here I am. We're all in one piece.
It's Phil. He sounds a little tipsy. I'll see you later, Joan.
Goodbye.
I'm on the porch, honey. You'll excuse me for having had one more than I should have had. After lunch,
Well, you don't have to explain, darling. I take it you didn't get the assignment?
How did you know that? You've got second sight or something?
Or something. Was it unpleasant?
No. About as I expected. Nice girl. Young enough to be my daughter. She had white wine, and I had a few martinis.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, oh, dear.
So you proceeded to lord it over the young woman who sips white wine?
Lord it over? No, that's not so. We got talking about what I'd be doing as a consultant in copy. Now, I know something about copy, Laura.
Yes, you do.
Me begging for a job. I used to run that joint before that kid was out of Dr. Denton's. Can't be 26. I was about 30 when she was born.
Let me fix you a cup of coffee.
I don't want any coffee. You say that I'm bummed, Laura? Well, I'm not. I never felt better. I've just had lots of things on my mind.
Including the robbery of the Grove City Bank?
Robbery?
Do you know who the men are who robbed the bank, Phil?
Me? Well, how would I know? I never saw them in my life. Say, what is all this?
Remember the two men I saw looking in through the living room window this morning at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
What were two men doing looking through the window, Phil?
Well, search me.
We think they had hidden the stolen money and we're looking for it.
We? Laura, who is we?
Joan and me.
Have you been talking this over with Joan?
Why not? She's my best friend and Paul is yours.
You and Joan turned amateur detectives, huh? Haven't the two of you got anything better to talk about than that robbery?
Frankly, no. Because ever since you heard about it, you haven't been Philip Chambers.
Oh, and who have I been?
A nervous wreck. And you're making a nervous wreck out of me. Tell me honestly, Phil. Do you know anything about the men who committed the robbery? Do you know who they are? Do they hide the money on our property? Are you in danger of survival?
Lots of questions.
Give me some answers, Phil.
What are you so worked up about, Laura? This is a police matter. Just leave it to the police.
I've notified the police.
What? Last night?
And again today. A man came to the house and said he wanted to read the water meter. He wasn't from the water company. He was in our basement for almost an hour and a half.
Oh, I see.
What? What do you see?
Laura, maybe you're right. I don't know anything about any of this, but you just might be right. Maybe the thieves did hide that money around here. I better check.
Let's have the police do the checking.
Now, don't you worry about me. I'll just look around.
Phil, are you in danger?
Now, nothing's going to happen to me. Huh? It's getting dark outside. It's starting to rain.
I'll be across the street with Joan.
Hello, Mr. Chambers.
What? Who are you?
Where have you got it, Mr. Chambers?
What are you doing in my basement? How did you get in here?
Let's have it, Mr. Chambers. You don't want to get hurt, do you? This is a real gun. I've used it before. I know how to use it.
Let him have it, Nick. Let's get out of here.
Not until he turns it over to us. Now, how about it, Mr. Chambers?
What is it you want?
The money, 80 grand. It's ours, and you have it someplace down here. Now, turn it over, or I'll blow your head off.
Avarice is like quicksand. Once you've taken the first risky step, you cannot save yourself from its grasp. Philip Chambers may lose his life unless he gives up what is not rightly his. He has everything to lose, nothing to gain. Or has greed so infected his mind that he will look down the barrel of a revolver and believe that he can stop a bullet with his beautiful dream of a fortune and the security it will give him. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
I'm High Brown, producer of Mystery Theater. This month, we in Walt Disney World are giving 16 lucky people a week of thrilling entertainment at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Send your name and address. Each week for 4 weeks, we'll select winners in random drawings. You could win an all-expense-paid vacation for four, flying to the vacation kingdom of the world. Stay at the Dutch Inn, get free tickets to rides and attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including Disney's bicentennial spectacular America on Parade. There are 400 Mickey Mouse watches as prizes also. Send your name and address to Mystery Theater, Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney not eligible. Contest void where prohibited. That's Mystery Theater, Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Entries received by September 3 are eligible for at least one drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
Everybody, this is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't let the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message is brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York. Zip 10016.
Chambers found $80,000 at the bottom of his garbage bin at the back of his nice colonial house in exclusive Morris Manor, 30-some minutes from Broadway. Despite a lifetime of ethical exactitude, Mr. Chambers didn't hesitate a minute before deciding that fate had dropped a rich token of her affection into his deserving hands. He'd keep the money stolen from the bank in Grove City. But the thieves... There were three, but one was killed when the escape car crashed. Also want the money.
I'm waiting, Mr. Chambers.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I want you out of here.
He's gonna be tough, Stud.
You want me to soften him up?
Not yet. Stud here is pretty good at making a guy talk, Mr. Chambers. Now, we don't want to hurt you, so just turn over the money and we'll run along.
I haven't got your money.
We're wasting time, Nick.
You got it, all right. We hid it in the garbage can last Saturday night. You found it Sunday morning and hid it. Because when we came back for it, it was gone. Now, where have you got it?
If you think that there's money down here, you're crazy. If there were, why didn't you find it? You were down here for an hour and a half this morning.
I'm getting impatient, Mr. Chambers. If you don't turn over that money in 1 minute, Stud will go to work on you.
You wouldn't get away with it. You think I'm going to stand here and do nothing while that gorilla comes at me? Now, look, I've got a pair of pretty good fists, and I'll yell my head off.
Oh, let me get at this guy.
Hold it. I have a better idea. We'll kill his wife. How'd you like that, Mr. Chambers?
Why, you dirty...
I wouldn't mind killing you. We don't care about you, but we care about the money. And with you dead, we still haven't got it. But we intend to get it because you're going to give it to us. Now, you have it for us by midnight. You leave it next to the garbage bin. We'll pick it up, and then Mrs. Chambers will be all right, and you'll be all right. Otherwise, you'll have only yourself to blame.
Uh-huh. What's to prevent me from calling the police?
You won't do that, Mr. Chambers. If you don't have the money outside by midnight, I'll tell the police you have the money.
You think they'd believe you? Your tip against my word and my reputation?
We got confidence in the police, ain't we, Nick?
That's right. Well, they'll break you down, Mr. Chambers. We have our way, they have theirs. And you'll slip up. Maybe not right away, but soon. But it won't get to the police. You know why? Because if the money isn't there tonight, we take care of your wife tomorrow.
He ain't kidding, mister.
So why don't you give us the money now and save all the sweat?
If I had the money that you're talking about, I would see you in hell before I gave it to you.
Stud? You're still pretty fast, Stud, my boy.
He was wide open. Now let's get out of here.
And we'll watch the house. It might be an interesting few hours. Good night, Mr. Chambers.
Laura, it's inconceivable to me that Phil might have all that money. Phil? My impression is that Phil's the kind who always returns the change if a waiter's made a mistake.
He is? But Joan, imagine having not change, but $80,000 in your hands. No, Phil's always been scrupulously honest, but he thinks about money all the time. The expenses. Where's the money coming from to pay them? He reviews our situation almost every day.
Well, that's fear.
Sure, of course it is. But he's only 55. We have money. Not much, but enough to get by on. So once in a while, Phil manages to relax. Not for long. There's always an unexpected expense. It throws his calculations out the window, and then he starts to fret. And when he frets, he begins to feel sorry for himself.
I never realized he was that upset.
Well, he'd never show it to his friends. He's too proud for that. Imagine what he must have felt when a fortune drops into his hands.
You've convinced yourself that Phil does have that money, haven't you?
But it's the only explanation I can give for his weird behavior. If anything happened to Phil...
I know... Wait a minute. I think I hear the car. If it's Paul, we'll send him across the street to Phil right away.
Oh, give the poor doctor a few minutes to relax.
He can relax after he questions Phil. Then maybe all of us will be able to relax.
Tell me about it, Phil.
I'd rather not, Paul.
I find your front door open. I walk in and call hello. No answer. I find you in the basement, sitting with your head in your hands, covered with perspiration, shaking as if you had a fever, and you won't tell me about it. After all, I am a doctor, Phil.
I just can't.
Your face is swollen. You've been crying. But that doesn't entirely account for the swollen face, does it?
No.
Did you fall down? Or walk into something?
Paul, I got knocked out.
Ah. Interesting. Ready to spill the beans?
I don't know how I can bring myself to it, Paul.
I'm a good listener. Mind if I fix myself a drink?
No, of course not. Forgive me for not offering you one.
You want one?
Yeah, a small one. I had enough at luncheon this afternoon to shrivel my liver to the size of a raisin.
Mm-hmm. And what was your excuse?
Well, I didn't get that consultant's job.
Here you are.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Well, that's hardly the end of the world, Phil.
No, no, it isn't. Imagine being interviewed or approved of by a 26-year-old girl with stringy hair and no brassiere. Gee, I felt like a captive of the youth army.
So it wasn't the lunch and the unpleasant interview that put you into a stew?
Oh, no, it wasn't unpleasant, just stupid.
So your annoyance drove you from lunch. Where? Biltmore Bar? Your club?
Yeah, the club. I sat at the bar, and the bartender listened.
Ha ha, poor man. Here's to all bartenders, the unlicensed psychiatrists or priests to an unending line of confessors. All right, my friend. Stop beating around the bush. Do you have that stolen money?
Yes.
We thought so.
I found it. Sunday morning in the garbage bin. I was going to use my shredder, so I went to the garbage bin and... Well, there it was.
And you decided to keep...
$80,000! Paul, you don't know what that could mean to me and Laura.
Sure I do. Fear, guilt, self-destruction. Look what's happened to you, Paul, in just 24 hours... You're a bundle of nerves. You lost the possibility of a good job, and you've been knocked on your can by a hoodlum who probably wouldn't hesitate to shoot you down like a mad dog.
Oh, they mean business, Paul.
I don't doubt it. Where is the money?
Well, it's in a box, wrapped in a plastic bag, behind that basement window that opens out onto the porch.
Get it for me.
What?
Bring me the box of money.
You?
Me. I want it, and I want it now. I'll get my car and turn the money into the police.
Oh, but Paul, what'll they think? You see, I've held out on them. Laura will be disgraced. I can't face my friends after they hear that I held the money for 2 days.
I'm your friend and you faced me. The others don't need to know. I found the money in my garage.
Oh, I don't know, Paul. These are tough guys. They may try something on you.
You mean mug me?
Or worse. They said they'd be back for the money at midnight. If it wasn't outside by the garbage bin, they'd get Laura.
Dirty thugs.
Oh, look, maybe I should do what they ask.
And let Berman like that get away with an $80,000 theft. Never. That money belongs in the hands of the police and then the bank. You get the box. I'll get my car. And don't dawdle.
It's Paul. He's not coming to the door. Where's he going?
The driveway. What in the world is he...
He's backing out his... What's going on? He's parking in front of the house and walking to the door.
Laura, you don't suppose...
I don't know what's going on. If Phil has the money, maybe he'll give it to Paul and... Joan, look. Phil's handing Paul some kind of package. That must be it. And Paul's returning to his car.
Laura, two men have come out from behind your hedge. Look, they're sneaking up on Paul. One of them has a gun.
Oh, no,
Paul! No! They're going to shoot Paul!
Get the package,
Stunt. Okay. Keys are in his hand. Come on.
I'm in. Get going, Nick. That thing's going to wake the whole town.
Oh, my God. Phil. Phil. Where are you?
I'm on the back porch. What's all the excitement?
Two men. One of them shot Paul.
What?
Paul. Paul's been shot. He's lying in the street.
Oh, Paul.
Phil, wake up. Can't you get it through your head? A man shot Paul. They stole his car and got away. Do something. Call the police.
Paul. Shot. He was here. We had a good talk. Paul's my friend. My best friend. He's a good doctor, too. Nobody shoots a good doctor. Nobody shoots a doctor. Paul. Shot.
Darling, you look so odd. Your eyes, they're blank like those of a statue. Don't. He's lost his mind. Phil, sit down.
What?
Phil, what was in the package?
Package.
I know what was in it, but I don't want to know. It may have left one man dead and
my husband worse off than dead.
In 1732, Thomas Fuller wrote that there is no vice like avarice. Honesty, no matter how shopworn the old adage, really is the best policy. It may not lead you to untold riches, but it's a safeguard for a respectable and safe life. What finally happened to these four friends? I'll tell you when I return shortly.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person.
Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre. With my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then. Because I love to hear people say, my, he certainly has his son's Buick.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Look, if I am drinking too much, that's my problem. It doesn't hurt anyone but me.
And your wife.
Oh, cut it out.
And your kids. And the people you work with. And your friends.
If someone close to you has a drinking problem, it's your problem, too. Help him. Write Alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. A public service message by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
The phrase, the root of all evil, has echoed down the corridor of time because this man covets what another man has. And civilization has never been able entirely to constrain greed. Philip Chambers almost cost his best friend his life. Almost. Dr. Shelton had been shot in the back, but he survived. Phil became an instant vegetable, and weeds overgrew his mind, choking out any hope of a return to normal life. When so well-respected, educated, and intelligent a man as Philip Chambers can succumb to greed, beware. Our cast included Norman Rose, Ann Shepherd, Elliot Reed, Marion Seldes, and George Petrie. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
The Chamber of Commerce dinner was long and tedious. I was sent home early with the lieutenant governor's wife. But not before Lewis had informed me that John, contrary to his normal habits, had been drinking quite a bit. But he assured me that it would be all right and that he would make sure he got safely home. I was sitting at my dressing table, taking off my makeup, when suddenly and impossibly, Lewis was beside me, visibly shaken and frantic.
Deborah.
How the devil did you get in here?
That doesn't matter for the moment. I'm here to tell you to lock your door when I leave, and whatever you do, don't let John come in. And remember the pistol I gave you.
What are you talking about?
He's found out about you and Nicholas.
How?
Never mind how. When I left him, he was loading his hunting rifle. For heaven's sake, when I leave, lock your door.
Are you suggesting that I should be afraid of John, the most...
Debbie, he is not himself. He's out of his mind. Good Lord, here he comes. Defend yourself, Deborah. Get your gun. He's out for blood.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Florida Orange Growers and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. Stay tuned for music, sports, news, and just general entertainment with Alan Archer from midnight to 6. On More Than Music, KOIN in Portland, it's 12.
CBS News.
Diplomatic reports reaching New Delhi indicate that a military coup in Bangladesh resulted not only in the death of President Mujibur Rahman, but his prime minister and two of the president's nephews as well. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Communications have been cut with Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh, and details still are sketchy. Radio Bangladesh announced the coup, saying leaders of the military renamed the nation the Islamic Republic of Bangladesh and appointed one of Sheikh Mujib's closest associates, Khandaqar Mushtaq Ahmed, as the new president. Within 3 hours of the coup, Ahmed went on the radio, making a brief address, urging all the peace-loving countrymen to do your duty and cooperate with the new government. He also urged the armed forces, the police, and paramilitary organizations set up by the old government to cooperate with him. The new government imposed a 24-hour curfew, urging all to remain calm. CBS News continues following this message.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhaid Ointment. Hemorrhaid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhaid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhaid. Hemorrhaid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi, everybody. Phil Rizzuto here with a few words for sport fans everywhere. Nightly, Monday through Friday, I bring you Phil Rizzuto on sports over most of these stations. I wrap up the daily events with an action review that includes interviews with players, coaches, and managers, and always give you a preview of what's to come. I also have comments on all phases of the sports world that I know will interest you. Hope you'll listen right here Monday through Friday nights for Phil Rizzuto on sports on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
The situation in the Portuguese colony of Timor on an island near Australia reportedly is deteriorating. An official communique says violence is feared between a radical rival party and the Timor Democratic Union. That's the group that seized key points in the capital of Dili to back independence demands. In another colony, Angola, Portugal has resumed full administrative control. Interim Portuguese High Commissioner in the West African Territory, General Ernesto Macedo, is resuming the functions granted to the transitional government named to arrange for independence due in November. The action follows fighting between rival factions trying to seize power in Angola. Political difficulties continue in Portugal itself, as we hear in this report from Ed Gress in Lisbon.
Two major political parties competing for the allegiance of the Portuguese people rallied in this capital. An estimated 20,000 socialists marched to the center of town to the presidential palace to shout, "Down with Vasco Gonçalves." This a reference to the premier, General Gonçalves, who is said to have strong leftist sympathies. The socialists marched in cadence, holding banners aloft calling for democracy, and they shouted in favor of socialism and against dictatorship. At the other end of the city, the communists, numbering about 15,000, held a demonstration of their own. Their key speaker said that the party will continue to fight in spite of the anti-communist violence that has been spreading across Portugal's north. It was feared there would be a direct confrontation during the night between the two groups, but this did not happen. Ed Gress for CBS News, Lisbon.
President Ford reportedly has made a final decision to veto a bill that would extend oil price controls for 6 months. White House aides said the chief executive will announce at least one measure to soften the economic impact of decontrol when legislation expires at the end of this month. One administration official indicated the president probably will lift the $2 a barrel excise tax on imported oil when oil price controls expire August 31st. Assistant Energy Administrator Robert Sant says that for too many years, the United States has taken for granted the amount of fuel actually available.
We've been kind of fooling ourselves for a good long while that oil is plentiful, that it's cheap, and we always have as much as we want, and that just isn't the case any longer, and we can't fool ourselves any longer. So perhaps it is an acclimatization. We just have to get used to the fact that it'll cost more over time.
Now this.
Have you entered the fabulous CBS Radio Mystery Theater contest? It's in full swing right now, and will continue all through the month of August. Listen to the Mystery Theater today for details on how to enter. You can win an all-expense-paid, 7-day, 6-night vacation at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Each winner can take 3 people to Disney's Vacation Kingdom of the World. 16 people in all will be our guests. You'll fly first class and stay in luxurious accommodations. You'll see Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. You'll receive free tickets to all attractions at Walt Disney World. You can swim, golf, play tennis, ride horseback, camp, and dine in elegance. We have 400 Mickey Mouse watches for runners-up. There'll be weekly winners all this month. 16 people in all will have the chance to enjoy these free trips to the Vacation Kingdom of the World, Walt Disney World. Listen to CBS Radio Mystery Theater today on this station for all the contest details. Promotional consideration by Walt Disney World.
Presidential candidates counting on millions of dollars in federal campaign funds could be in for a rude awakening if the Federal Election Commission decides on a proposal currently under consideration. The idea, to match net contributions, that is, the money taken in by a candidate minus the amount he spends raising it. Mike Stanley, CBS News.